word or two, a little pat on the head, and they follow you around forever. He stood staring at me for a moment, as if he couldn't decide whether I was serious or not. I held up both hands to show him there was nothing up my sleeves. I'm joking. No ghosts to date. He looked relieved, then managed to twist his relief into a familiar sneer common to all young 20-somethings. I ignored him as he left, pulling my glasses off as I scanned my mother's email, filing it to be answered later before I clicked on Corrine's.
Allie, this is just a reminder in case you've forgotten. The Dante book signing is at the new Hartwell's store in Covent Garden tomorrow night, 7 p.m. London time. Be there, or I'll do something so horrible to you I legally cannot put it into writing. Hope you're having fun. I don't suppose you took my advice and left the shades at home?
Corrine. P.S. Don't forget to give Dante the keychain I made him. Be sure to tell him how long it took me to embroider his name into the warding pattern. And don't forget to ward it. I doubt if I will ever live down the embarrassment of the time you handed over an unwarded keychain to Russell Crowe.
What a shame. The C.J. Dante keychain was mysteriously left at home,
I told the computer as I logged off and popped my sunglasses back on, just in case I ran into anyone in the hallway. For a moment, I just sat, exhausted, listening to the sounds of the hotel and the noise outside the window of London on a busy winter afternoon. Anton's message did nothing but add to my exhaustion. I had seen the handwriting on the wall for the last 6 months. Produce or else was his motto, and I was lamentably lacking in the proof department.
This is it, Allie, I said aloud to the empty room. Put up or shut up this time.
And I have to tell you, the job openings for an unproven summoner are pretty slim. My voice echoed in the room as I continued to sit and dwell on my grim future. It almost seemed like too much trouble to push myself out of the chair and haul my bag of tricks upstairs to the small corner room that had been allotted to me. But a glance at my watch got me up and heading to the bed that promised a few hours of much-needed blissful nothingness before I had to go off to a haunted inn and hunt ghosts. The dream started even before I felt myself relax fully into sleep. It was dark, nighttime, the air damp and musty smelling. I walked through an empty house, its walls stained with mold and age and unsavory things that my mind shied away from identifying, my footsteps echoing loudly as I moved from room to room, searching for something, a place, somewhere I was supposed to be. Small black shapes skittered just beyond my range of vision in every room I entered. Faint, soft, phantom noises trailing behind me like a wake. Mice? Or something more disturbing? I wondered as I let my fingers trail over a dusty banister that led me downstairs to a dark pool of inky blackness. Fearless, as I never was in real life, I pushed open the door at the foot of the stairs and saw a man stretched out on a table. A man. Even in my dream, I modified that word. He was no mortal man. He was a god, a perfect specimen of masculinity created just for my pleasure. Long black hair spilled onto the table, a halo of ebony against the light wood. His eyes were open, dark, but not as dark as his hair, almost mahogany in color, rich with browns and reds, and even a bit of gold flaring around the edges of his irises. The long, chiseled lines of his jaw and squared chin were still, as if he were sleeping. But his eyes followed me as I moved into the room. He was naked but for a piece of cloth covering his groin, his body striped with what looked to be hundreds of small cuts, blood dripping slowly from the wounds onto the floor beneath the table.